Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Paul calls Christians to something new and different in mind and body. He doesn't separate the learning of the mind from the activities of the body. Doctrine and life are one. Those who hear the good news with their ears, but do not with their hands and feet, have really not heard the good news. Paul here is addressing a congregation that are all ears, ears only. And he's telling that we must be transformed. You see, it's our spiritual, or rather our sinful nature, to want to do things our way. God sent Jesus to influence our minds and bodies. You and I cannot transform ourselves, for it is our human nature to conform to the world. You and I do not have to be tied to what has been, not even yesterday. Now we look at things differently and what can be. Christians see life in this world from a different perspective. Like the dressmaker pattern, Jesus lays his life out there in the four Gospels. And we lay that pattern against our own life. And in doing so, we see where we need to cut, where we need to bind, what we need to add for our life. Jesus not only is the pattern to transform our life, but he is the power for it to happen. Jesus is not only the pattern, but the power. He has the power to reveal our sins and to bring us forgiveness. He was all that was good and gives us his spirit to draw goodness out of us. What emerges from a life centered in Christ is a knowledge that we belong to him. Martin Luther stated, "This transformation of our mind is most useful of all knowledge for Christian believers. And the clinging to our own mind is the most hurtful resistance to the Holy Spirit. Christ changes the way we think and function in our world. And you and I are called to live life worthy of what we have received in Christ. We have received in Christ not only for ourselves, for our own sake, but for the sake of the world." In this same text, Paul describes gifts given to us. These gifts are not entrusted to us as some trophies to show, but for tools for service. These spiritual gifts are to glorify the gift giver and build up the body. Stories told of an elderly lady who was restricted in her activities, but she was eager to serve the Lord. After praying about it, she decided that although she may not be able to walk from house to house to invite people to worship, she was still able, though, she knew, to play the piano. And the next day she placed this ad in the paper: "Pianist will play hymns by phone for shut-ins. The service is free." When people called, she simply asked, "What would you like to hear?" Within a few months, she had played several hundred to depressed, lonely individuals, many who freely poured out their hearts to her, and she was able to help and encourage them. Later, she testified that serving became the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life. The woman used her spiritual gift, that is, helping others, as she exercised her natural gift of music. We can trust God to transform our thinking in turning us around from inward thinking to outward thinking. In our text, Jesus calls Peter the head of the church. "On this rock I build my church." And of course, within the same text later on, there was Peter, as Jesus lays out the future for him, the suffering and dying, Peter's response is, God forbid that you should suffer and die. Peter, at that point, was conformed to the world. Jesus also says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's transformation. Jesus said, he who loses his life for my sake will find it. That's freedom. Question for us. Are we a doer of the word as well as a hearer? Are we hearing with our hands and feet? A doer of the word is anxious to share with others what God has done. God with them in bad times and good times. A doer of the word is ready to forgive because they're so aware of that forgiving relationship that Jesus has with them. A doer of the word is willing to give of their time, their talent, their money because they see everything as God's gift to them. A doer of the word does not grumble about their lot in life, but carries their cross for Christ's sake, knowing and showing they too are victorious as Christ is victorious. As Christ's church, you and I are challenged to allow God to transform us, to see our need to do His will together, interdependent of one another, all dedicated to the Lord's agenda. If we are open to His Spirit empowering our time, our talent, our offerings, we will be giving those in joyful worship, wanting to honoring our Lord, and knowing that we are doing it for the common body of Christ. Story is told, someone has imagined the carpenter's tools holding a meeting. Mr. Hammer is presiding, and several suggest he leave the meeting because he's too noisy. If I have to leave, Mr. Screw must also leave. You have to turn him around and around to get him to do anything. Mr. Screw spoke up. If you wish, I will leave, but Mr. Plain must also leave. All his work is on the surface. His efforts have no depth. To that, Mr. Plain responded, Mr. Ruler will have to leave. He is always measuring folks as if he is always right. Then Mr. Ruler complained against Mr. Sandpaper. You ought to leave because you are so rough and you rub people the wrong way. In the midst of all of that discussion, in walks the carpenter of Nazareth, arriving for his day's work. And putting on his apron, he went to the bench to build a pulpit from which to proclaim the gospel. He used the hammer, the screwdriver, the plane, the ruler, the sandpaper, and all the tools in the shop. Mr. Saw remarked, my friends, I observe that as different as we all are, we all work well together in the hands of the Lord. Likewise in the church. Amen.